hello and welcome to the local edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Rob. We have a packed show for you today, so let's get straight to it. In the second half of the show, we'll learn about our new graphic t-shirt for the 35th anniversary. Radio Casco put out a call to local artists for a 35th anniversary logo, and Parksville's Nia Ribby answered. We'll learn more about the t-shirt and the design. But first, it's Friday on the local edition. Of course, we have the one and only Chris Rowley on the phone with us now. Talk about Ulster County in Ellenville. Chris, welcome to the program. You had the governor visit you in Kingston. What can you tell us about what she said to the residents of Kingston and Ulster County?
I suppose this is a tour she's going to be making of the whole state. I mean, after all, she is has already begun running for re-election, and she's got Antonio Delgado running against her. In the primary within her own party. But she came to Kingston on July the 18th to basically let everybody know that the cuts that are coming to Medicaid and food stamps and so on are going to have a very serious effect. A lot of people who don't really think that they are going to get affected are going to get affected. That's what's going to happen. And so she was joined for the event by... she got Pat Ryan, who is a congressman. We got the county executive, Jen Metzger, came, of course. And, of course, Kingston Mayor Steve Noble was on hand, too. They were all there. And she didn't have anything to kind of like, there were no kind of goodies to announce. It was basically just take note of what's going to be happening. And some of the numbers are pretty brutal. She said about a third of New York residents, half of the state's children, and 40,000 residents of the 18th congressional district, which is to the east of Ellenville, where I live and everything, but it's still an important part of Ulster County. They all rely on Medicaid. Medicaid is a crucial thing for a lot of people. If you ever really want to get depressed about things, just have a look online, Google up Medicaid and look where the money goes and see all the things that Medicaid, the loss of Medicaid funding will impact. The bill that was approved, the big, whatever you want to call it, bill, will cut about $1 trillion out of Medicaid. And that trillion will basically be going to a tax cut for people who are already extremely wealthy and probably won't spend it. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. It seems kind of a huge social issue and a shame thing. But anyway, the Congressional Budget Office, which is nonpartisan, submits about 10.5 million Medicaid and Child Health Plus recipients will lose benefits by 2036 under this big, wonderful bill.
That's going to affect the hospitals. We've spoken to Ellenville, and we've spoken to Garnett recently, and just they told us about the hit that this will cause them. And it's really sort of a scary future for both hospitals.
It is, and it's a national, it runs right across the country. It's definitely, I know that the CEO of Ellenville Regional Hospital, Steve Kelly, who is a wizard with the numbers, and has had a tremendous effect on that hospital and bringing it into a new kind of life. He is very anxious, and he will be looking at exactly how this will come down and which parts of Medicaid will be affected the most, because it's a big part of their business. And so, yeah, so if Ellenville Regional closed, that would be a lot of jobs. That would be a real gut punch to southwestern Ulster County, and also to Sullivan County, because I'm sure a lot of people from Sullivan County come to Ellenville Regional. And then the effects on Garnett and the other hospitals in our area can't be ignored. And this is going to happen right across the country. And I think, off the top of my head, I think there's between 100 and 200 small rural hospitals that probably will close as a result of this. And they'll leave areas. And these hospitals are in rural areas in Republican voting states. So, hey, what did you just do? You just basically told your people who voted for you, you can't have a hospital. It's going away.
And I think about like Garnett has different locations. They have the the walk-in clinics they do have. But, you know, the major hospitals are Middletown and Harris. And then we have a small satellite one, Calicoon, the Calicoon Hospital. And that one, it's in a very rural area. It's for the folks who don't go there, they go to Pennsylvania because Pennsylvania is literally across the river. So, right. you know, if you're asking a folk to go from Calicoon to Middletown, you're talking about an hour drive, just to see a doctor.
Yeah, well, and there are specialties too. I mean, isn't Garnett the only neonatal clinic space around?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to have a baby. Where are you going to go?
Yeah, and Middletown is the only pediatric emergency room there is in our area that I know of. I'm sure you go to Pennsylvania. I live when they have something like that. But in Sullivan County, you have to go to Middletown if you have a kid and who needs emergency services.
So if those structures close, then that's not like going to be, you know, that our kids are not going to have emergencies. Their kids are going to get weird cases of, I don't know, anything from scarlet fever to an accident on the lacrosse field and get hit with the stick right across the face. Whatever. Things happen. And, you know, at that point, parents will be going, well, where do I go? Where do I go? Yeah, right. Where will you go? You know, you may have to go to Vassar over in all the way on the, you know, in Poughkeepsie. Okay, well, that's, you know, for some people, that'll be an hour and a half, maybe close to 2 hour drive, depending how rural you are, where the accident or whatever it takes. These are issues that are going to affect everybody across the country who lives in a rural area.
And you got to take into the fact that, the side expenses, you know, you're paying gas to go there. Oh. You're putting wear and tear of a car in a car. And it's if you have a car, you know, to get to these places.
Right. If you don't have a car, well, I have no idea how you're going to do it. And our ambulance services are stretched there as it is, and they will have to, you know, travel much farther and all the rest of that too. It just goes on and on and on. And, you know, for what purpose? What is the point of this? Oh, a tax cut for people who already have hundreds of millions. Interesting. I don't know. You know, it's odd. I don't think this is what people voted for last year. I really don't. I don't think this was that they really took it on board that this was going to happen.
It's something that we are all going to be following as it just lays out and the cuts are being made, and we'll see what sort of the effects of it. So we're both going to keep on this story. If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Local Edition. I've been talking to Chris Rowley from the Schwanka Journal, letting us know about the Medicaid cuts and the visit for Governor Hochul in Kingston on July 18th. Chris, another story you've been working on and we have been discussing here on The Local Edition a lot is the recycling and trash situation that's going on with Seneca Metals' contract ending and the need for a new site for all our trash, not only for our county, for many other counties. What can you tell us about the latest you've written in your latest article for the Schwanka Journal?
And I wrote this week the first part of sort of an in-depth thing. Basically, what wasn't much for me. It was mostly just recycling what Mark Ryder, the CEO of UCRRA, told us at a kind of, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, he's going around the county, going to about five different locations in Ulster County, telling people in Ulster County what the issue is with waste disposal, landfills, and what the hell are we going to do? Because, you know, landfills take a long time to get permitted. And we're only about six landfills in the whole state functioning now. Yeah. And they're all almost full and they're going to close, including the giant thing up in Seneca Meadows, the top end of Seneca Lake. That is going to close. Not yet. And they probably will get another 10, even 15 years to operate. That seems to be in the works. However, it will take at least 10, maybe 15 years to get another one permitted for right. anywhere. And then the politics come in. As we saw with the battle over the landfill that was supposed to go into Dairyland, right up there in the corner between Ulster County and Sullivan County, as we joked in the office, it's as far away from Kingston as you can get and still be in Ulster County. You know, that battle ended up with them saying, with UCRR pulling back and saying, we can't do it. We're not going to do it here. So, all right, good. Okay. We didn't want it in Wawarsing. Okay. But who wants it? Nobody wants it. Okay, so this kind of moves to, we can't have one in Ulster County, because after all, a good half of Ulster County is state preserved parkland. It's the Catskill Park. It's the Minnewaska. You know, you look around, there's an awful lot of preserved land. They're not going to have anything. Nothing is going on there that's going to involve waste. There's not that much, as it were, open for this. So we're going to be looking at some kind of regional agreement between Sullivan, Ulster, Orange, Dutchess, Columbia, Green, and a few more counties. They're going to get together and hash out who will accept a regional landfill. We can all imagine that kind of battle. Behind closed doors, the screaming, the sound of chairs being thrown across the room, right? We can all imagine that. So we'll leave that, because that's likely to happen and something's got to happen. Meanwhile, Mr. Ryder was promoting the whole concept of reducing waste, cutting it down, making sure that there's less and less and less, because that's the other way to deal with this, is to cut it. So if Ulster County were to go from 140,000 tons a year going to a landfill, was to bring it down to, I mean, I know this is going to sound absurd, but bring it down to 10,000 tons. I mean, that still sounds like a lot, yeah. Right? But, you know, it's compared to 140,000 tons. Then, you know, the size of a landfill would be much less. It would last a lot longer. The issues might be a lot less dramatic. And then there's the things that are incredibly, you know, hard to get our heads around. But as a species, as a nation, as a country, we are not recycling. We have failed to recycle. So Ryder basically laid it out. Ulster County produces 16,000 tons of plastic garbage a year. Out of that 16,000 tons, 400 are recycled.
Wow. Yeah, it's...
Let that sink in, you know. I mean, it's absurd. And that's because you have to have a contract. You have to have someone who is going to be able to take clean plastic that you've already processed a little bit and take it away and be able to turn it into something that they can. So the flip side of that, State Senate in May passed the Packaging Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act, the PRNRI, which would have reduced toxins in packaging by taking plastic out of it and improve recycling infrastructure. This is a bill that was furiously resisted by industries. They don't want to have to deal with this. And the lobbyists showed up, and Ryder said, there were a lot of them, and they were wearing $2,000 suits. And like, there were 40 of them compared to a handful of us, and we were wearing suits from Kohl's. So, you know, basically, the lobbyists won.
Yeah.
What happened? State Assembly, you know, looked at this thing, blinked, they blanched, and they just avoided voting on it. And they ran out the session, and it didn't happen. Once again, the politics are very difficult. The lobbyists win, and we continue to develop the 16,000 tons of waste that we cannot recycle. And please note, this is a national thing. The country of Malaysia last week, I think it was announced, or was it more than that? It was very recent, announced that they aren't taking plastic waste anymore from Western countries. No more, thank you. So these, you know, foreign lands are not accepting our waste. We're going to have to deal with it. And, you know, we have to get our manufacturers, I think. I mean, it's not going to be popular with them, but they're going to have another look at how they do all this. And, I mean, I'm an old person, older, and I remember when soft drinks came in glass bottles. You know, and they were small bottles, 8 ounces max, and they came in a little, you know, like beer. They came in little six-pack things that you carried around, and they went in the fridge. That's the way it was. Would that be so terrible to go back to that? Because glass can be recycled.
Yeah, I would assume it would be crushed down and melted and turned into new glass, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's fairly easy, I think, fairly easy to clean. I mean, that's what I heard once.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we go back to that, well, of course, it's going to be a bother because it's heavy and it has to be moved around. So that issue to it. And people, you know, have gotten used to being able to buy, half gallon of cola, you know, in a plastic bottle, right? But maybe that era is coming to an end. I don't know. We'll have to see. But whatever, there are going to be changes, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, there definitely will be changes. Just curious of what the future is going to look like, with not only with waste, but with recycling, because plastics are becoming more and more unrecyclable. You know, and also that the process of recycling the plastic is also sometimes detrimental to the environment, the cost of it and the process of it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a tremendous issue we've created for ourselves. And, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, you can see why everybody went for plastics, because, you know, they're light, they're flexible. There's an awful lot of different kinds. They fill all sorts of needs. But you know, it may be we just can't allow ourselves the luxury of using quite so many.
Right.
And with the recycling, one thing that I was told by a former UCRRA person is that packaging that involves multiple plastics, you know, different kind of liners, or you know, a liner inside something else with a plastic on the outside as well.
Yeah, or the caps, or those, you know, things you break free when you try to open a new product, and all those things.
Yeah. All those sort of things, right? Those are not recyclable, period. Mm-hmm. No, they're just too complicated. There's far too much has to be done to them. So that's just garbage. So can we imagine we won't have those?
Yeah.
I mean, I do remember when milk first began to come in cardboard containers, it didn't necessarily have all that. You know, you just had to pull this up and open it out, right? You know, and it was clumsy. It wasn't as easy to use, but it didn't have the plastic. I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm not a packaging expert. Maybe we all will become packaging experts the way it's going, you know what I mean? But these are the things we've got to deal with. And,
I thought about it yesterday. Yesterday, I went to a Korean restaurant, and you know, we didn't finish our meal, so we had to take it home. And of course, we're giving plastic containers and a plastic bag, and to take it home. And I right there automatically wonder, so what will be the alternative to this? I'm assuming it will be paper, cardboard. Because I've seen takeout also doing, you know, given to me like a hard cardboard containers that you could put things in, but it's plastic is everywhere. Plastic is so ingrained in our lives.
New York State banned the styrofoam stuff.
Yeah.
So that stuff, you don't have those styrofoam things anymore. Unfortunately, you know, like with pizza boxes, when it's got oils and food residue on it,
can't be recycled.
Recycled. So, you know, that is a serious issue. The only other way out with that one, and I've heard this from the UCRRA people, is to have it be biodegradable.
Right.
So it will only have a sort of a brief life, and then it will return to very simple elements and become go into the ground. But there's a lot of issues with all of this. And, you know, hey, we have a lot of scientists. We've got a lot of development people. We've got a lot of technology, I'm sure. The United States of America in the 21st century can come up with solutions. And if we do, we'll be world leaders, and we can sell it to everybody else.
Yeah.
Including China.
Yeah.
Because I know it has a terrible problem. So, you know.
Yeah, you think about internationally. You know, we always talk about, you know, what's going to happen here locally in New York and America. But you talk about other countries where you have billions and billions of people living who don't have the regulations that we have. I was just hearing, you know, the problems they have in India with pollution. You know, for years they had this problem in China, just these dense cities that don't have the regulations that we have. Have been suffering with pollution. But now we have an administration who's also now cutting back on these regulations, on the EPA regulations. It seems like we're going backwards sometimes with, you know, all these regulations that were put in place for a reason, because to reduce the pollution. And I'm sure you can remember back in the 70s and 80s how cars were being driven around with no kind of regulations on it, with lead gasoline being poured out.
Oh, yes. Yeah, lead gasoline. Woo! Lead petroleum products. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. Current administration, I don't think they really know why they're doing things. It seems like it's all about grievance, you know, resisting change, not being happy with... I mean... There are people, or old people, conservative people, who don't like the internet.
Right.
Okay, you don't like it. Well, all right, don't use it. But, you know, I mean, the world has moved. The world is not going to stop using the internet.
Yeah.
You know, it's the way things go. And there are people who refuse to accept that human beings can cause climate change, because essentially I don't think they want to do the reading just to understand that this planet is a miracle. I don't know for sure about this, but this is something I'm very interested in. And it seems to me that a planet this size with a thin but not too thin atmosphere is very, very, very rare.
Mm-hmm.
That mostly a planet this size would be a water world. It would have, 300-400 mile deep layer of water around it. And whatever life might develop on a planet like that would not be like us. So we don't know yet, because so far it's very difficult to see little planets like ours close to stars like ours. But, you know, if that's the case, then it's a real rarity. This blue marble is a very rare thing. And we really don't need to be wasting it. We need to be taking care of it.
Chris, let's leave it there. Thank you so much for talking to me. We're talking to Chris Rowley from the Shawangunk Journal. Let us know what's happening in Ellenville and Ulster County. All right.
All right. Take care.
Thank you, Chris, for that report. You're listening to The Local Edition on a Friday evening. Stay tuned. We're going to learn all about a new T-shirt that we have. You might have seen it on Instagram and Facebook, but we have new 35th anniversary logo. We'll get to meet the artists right after this break. You listen to Local Edition. I'm Patricio Robayo. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
Those same Israelis that were always looking at Gaza but were silent, and I think it's a huge part of the population. Now, because the talk is becoming public, they have the legitimacy to say it out loud at the family dinner and around friends. But it's not a huge shift.
I'm Rachel Abrams. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
Welcome back to The Local Edition. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. For the celebration of our 35th anniversary, we are bringing news, culture, and NPR to the Sullivan Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. Radio Catskill put a call out to all local creatives in May to help us design a logo that will be featured on T-shirts, thank you cards to our listeners, and all of our merchandise. So we're excited to announce that Nia Ribby of Parksville is our winner, and her unique design and take on the past, present, and the future of radio, along with her intriguing use of color, and our signature lightning bolt stood out and captured Radio Catskill energy. Radio Catskill's Genevieve Harnett spoke with Nia about her creative process and how her artistic vision is homegrown and her future aspirations to animate for the small screen.
Visual art is central to the artistic makeup of the Catskills. Our region is iconic, inspiring some of the great painters of the 19th century, and to this day is still birthing new art collectives to highlight its unique beauty and culture. But for Nia Ribby, she is learning from the past and using new technology to create innovative graphic design inspired by the place she calls home. So do you live in Sullivan County? Can you tell me a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so I do live here in Sullivan County. I grew up in Parksville. Currently, I'm in Woodridge.
And you just said you finished undergrad a little while ago. Where did you go to school and what'd you study?
SUNY Sullivan, and I actually did get an associate's degree in graphic design. I actually started off in psychology, ironically enough, and I was like, yeah, this is not for me. And I wanted to do more art stuff because I've been drawing since I was little. And I was like, you know what? The art program that they had was a graphic design. So I tested it out and I actually really liked it.
Do you prefer the use of technology in your art, or do you like drawing more, or do you kind of like a combination of both?
So I'd say probably a combination of both. I did start off with traditional, like drawing pencil on paper, and then I got an iPad for the first time and I was like, oh, I can do digital art. Cool. So I do a mixture of both. I usually sketch traditionally and then I'll import it onto my iPad and then finish it out digitally.
When you're working on a new artwork, do you think of what the image is going to be first? Do you think of how you're going to construct it, or do you think of kind of the message of it first, or do you not necessarily think about art that way?
No, it's a bit of everything, really. It depends on what I'm drawing, because I like to come up with the concept in my head and then try and sketch out a bunch of variations of how I want that to look. I do really prioritize like messaging and stuff and like what the personal message is in my art specifically. So I try and use like symbolism objects and just symbolism in general to try and get that message through.
What are some other symbols that you've used, whether it's the one you did for the shirt or just in other pieces that you've done?
Specifically, I'm kind of like spiritual and I love cardinals, for example. So I love to try and use like the red symbolism, like any color symbolism is really important. Birds, angels, stuff like that. And yeah, specifically for the Radio Catskills shirt, I did try and tie in the lightning bolts because I know that's like a big thing for you guys. And I was just like, I really want it to be personal. So I wanted to tie it in as best as I could.
How did you find out about the contest and why was it so important to submit a design?
Yeah, so I actually saw it in an email from Delaware Arts Alliance. And I'm always, because me myself, I'm pretty integrated into the community, at least I want to be. And so I really try and take up any art opportunity I can to try and make a name for myself, try and be connected to as many people in the community that I can be. And so I saw this opportunity and I was really interested. I wanted to challenge myself. I've never really created a design for a shirt. And so I just sketched up a design and I put it into Adobe Illustrator and worked on it. And, I came up with this and I was like, listen, I might not win. I might, who knows, take a shot in the dark. And yeah, and luckily I was able to. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity to even have been picked.
And something I noticed about your design right away is how much color you had in it. You know, there's oranges, there's blues, there's yellows. How did you pick those colors? Like, is that part of the symbolism as well?
So it was a bit of like just color scheme, kind of like color pattern, color wheel sort of thing. I just chose orange because it's like super vibrant. And I knew I wanted to stick exactly with the yellow you guys had for the lightning bolt. And I was just like, what's a color that's really going to pop? And then when you look at the color wheel, blue is like right across from orange. And I'm like, yeah, that's going to work. And there was kind of like an old timey inspiration behind it. I did like base the robot's head like off of an old radio. And I tried my best to incorporate that. And then with the modern pop of like color, I really thought that it would tie the two together.
What are you working on now?
Yeah, so I actually got a decent amount of stuff going on. I'm working on a book cover actually for a local author. I am currently also working with a company down in Florida for mobility and transportation equipment. I want to launch my online shop for my business. So I got to create some like merch and designs for that. So a lot of stuff, but we're juggling it.
Where do you hope this takes you? Where do you hope that the path of art and creation takes you?
Honestly, ever since I was little, I've always wanted to create a TV show. So I was really hoping that like with all this practice and between like marketing and like illustration, I was really hoping like maybe one day, who knows, I do want to do like a cartoony style. Like I want to have my drawings on the big screen. I just feel like that'd be so cool. I love anime personally. It's just it's so impressive. The person I'm really inspired by right now is someone named Vivian, and she created Hell of a Boss and Hazbin Hotel, and it's like an indie production, and like I'm just really inspired by it and hoping I could do something similar. But also like for now, I do want to make it a business and help out the local community.
And we're really excited for our listeners to know more about you.
Yeah.
And I want to see your animated TV show. I'm supporting you on this. This sounds so cool.
Thank you so much.
In Liberty, I'm Genevieve Hartnett for Radio Catskill.
And that does it for The Local Edition. I've been your host, Patricio Roballo. Thank you so much for joining me on a Friday evening. You've been listening to The Local Edition. Lucy, Have a good night. Everyone else, take care of yourself, and I'll talk to you soon.
WJFF Jeffersonville. From river to river, mountain to mountain, we are Radio Catskill.